Hello and welcome again to another installment of the Verse by Verse Bible Teaching Ministry of the Washing Word. That's right. This ministry is brought to you by the funds that we raise through washing your car at our business. And that's the Washing Word Hand Car Wash. You can find us in the Palace Shopping Center in Church Hill. We're right off of Highway 11, and there you can come get your car hand washed. And while you're there, you can listen to these messages. We play them on a loop. You can hear them while you're in the waiting room or anywhere in the parking lot, whether you're over by the library or the senior center or even over there by Pals, and you're just hanging out in your car. You can tune to 107.1 FM, and these messages will play on a loop throughout the day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So there is verse-by-verse Bible teaching always available to the public outside of the typical four walls of the church. And that's what this ministry is geared towards doing. It's towards getting God's word out there, because Lord knows we have enough churches, but we don't have enough of the word of God. And so we are, through this business, promoting the word of God. And if you'd like to take part in this, we can set your business up in the same way. It doesn't take any money. We will supply all the needs, and we'll show you how to do it. It's just a simple setup and doesn't require a whole lot on your part. But if you're of the mind that says, hey, you know what, this world needs more of God's word available as often as possible, well, we can work together and get that set up. So we're here waiting for you to come by, get your car washed. This is how we earn the money to keep this ministry going. All right, that being said, you can go to the washandword.com website for more information about the business or about the ministry. That's washed, the letter N, word.com. So let's get back into it. We're almost done with the book of Ecclesiastes. We're in the last chapter, chapter 12, and Solomon is, you know, he's winding this thing down. And we left off with the application point in our last teaching, and this is kind of a summary of Solomon's sum total of wisdom, I guess you might want to say. And I summed it up by saying this, that the meaning of life is not found in living, nor is living the meaning of life. In other words, we're not going to find the meaning of life by looking at life itself. You see, the meaning of life is bigger than the actual existence of who we are. It's bigger than life. And nor is the meaning of life just to live, even though his sum total is to eat, drink, and be merry, and just enjoy the days, which we can. Again, the search and the answer for meaning has to lie beyond the reality of existence. It has to, because existence and life itself, they don't hold the answer. Solomon was sure about that, and we are sure about that. It doesn't hold the answers. In Ephesians 2:12, Paul writes, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. And you know, I have spoken with a lot of pastors who have been doing teaching the Bible a lot longer than I have, and there, surprisingly, the shocking truth is that there are a lot less deathbed conversions than you might think there should be. I guess it seems that in old age, it's kind of hard to make that choice for hope, as Paul says, or that choice for eternity. And this is kind of one of the major themes of the book. He's saying to take hold of now, and to recognize that there is something bigger than yourself, and do it before it's too late. Because if you wait, you might not have that opportunity. And even if you have that opportunity, it seems very difficult, based on experience, to make that decision in old age or on your deathbed. And so, when is it too late? Well, according to what we know, too late could be 5 minutes from right now. You know, they say 95% of all believers come to Christ under the age of 50. That is a remarkable percentage. And the majority of those people are saved before the age of 30. And so if I read verse 1 again, it says, remember your Creator in the days of your youth before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. This is chapter 12, rereading verse 1. Again, in verse 2, there's a reason to not just remember, but he says to take hold of your Creator, take hold of your life while you still can. He says evil days or trouble is coming. It's bound to come. And let's face it, elderly people are not prime candidates to either be persuaded or moved or taught. You know, the old expression, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. The older we get, the harder it's going to be for us to make that decision. So do it while you still can, because those evil days of the deteriorating of old age, which is what we looked at in the last couple of messages, they're not conducive to salvation or regeneration. There's no pleasure to be found in them. The older we get, the harder it is for us to change. It's like concrete. We harden against change as we age. We resist new ideas. We find no pleasure in the days ahead. Our motivation diminishes. Our goals have either been achieved or crushed. And our visions begin to die. How many people past 50 find it easier to stick to an exercise routine than you did when you were, say, in your 20s? And this is why Solomon exhorts young people to search and to find God as soon as possible. While your motivation is high and the pressure to conform even lower. And normally, at the end of a message, I'll try to recap or summarize what was just covered. But Solomon does it for us here in the last five verses of chapter 12. And it basically covers the entire book. Look at verses 9 and 10, Solomon 12. He says, the subheading is the conclusion of the matter. Not only was the teacher wise, talking about himself, but also he imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and what he wrote was upright and true. Stop right there. He says that he searched to find just the right words and to give them to the people at just the right time. You know, he deliberately placed them there in a thoughtful order, and every word was carefully placed in these verses. Because sometimes wisdom is not in the what, but it's in the how. And the way he places these things, he's leaving no room for questioning. Look at verse 11 and 12. We'll move on. The words of the wise are like goads, their collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them, and of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. This is another summarizing statement. What he's essentially saying is that reading and studying, though beneficial and good, is no substitute for personal experience. He's saying you can read all the books you want, but unless you actually have a personal relationship with God, and in our case, now that we're in the age of grace, through Jesus Christ, you can read all you want. It's not going to do you any good. In the last two verses, he says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Get ready. This is exciting. This is the conclusion of 12 chapters of all of his great search. He says, fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or it is evil. And there you have it. That is the heart of the sermon, the heart of the chapter. That is the heart of this book. That is the heart of life. Listen, Jesus paid a tremendous price so you and I could find true meaning in this life. So beware of treating your sin in your life as nothing more than normality. The Bible says that everything will be hidden, whether good or evil. We transcend the boundaries of His Word, and then we wonder why we are lost. We relegate our intimate time with Jesus to convenience and not discipline. We have replaced prayer with persistence, faith with finance, and confession with discretion. And worst of all, we have replaced the fear of God with nothing. And you know why? because there is no substitute for godly perspective. The created simply has no substitute for the creator. And this is the epitome of the meaningless, meaningless. Everything is meaningless. The most meaningless endeavor of all mankind is to seek alternatives to the work of God. Man, talk about a meaningless endeavor. Ecclesiastes 7:13, Solomon said, consider the work of God. Well, what is this work? Jesus answered that when he said, the work of God is this, in John 6:29, to believe in the one that he has sent. Do you need more proof of the importance of Jesus Christ, the importance of the Bible, the importance of the work of God? Do you need more proof of the importance of living with a healthy, reverent fear of God? If the work of God is Jesus and everything emanates from He that was before creation, then what is the fear of God? And we're going to close with an acronym for the word fear, because that's what Solomon is saying here. The conclusion of the matter, fear God. Well, what do we mean by that? Well, let's take it in our last few minutes together of this chapter and look at the four letters in the word fear. F stands for faith. Faith in His existence. You cannot come to God unless you know that He is there. Hebrews 11:6 says, he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So this is where faith begins. Faith that God exists. The whole of the created universe is shouting that at us, that there is a creator. All of the inner responses of our hearts are confirming it. The word of God declares it. History confirms it. There is a world of evidence that God is there. Francis Schaeffer says that this is the great and first truth of the gospel. The second letter of fear in fearing God is E, experience His grace. So not only have faith in His existence, but experience of His grace. You can never properly fear God until you have learned what kind of God He is. And friends, let me tell you, He is a God of mercy and of grace and of forgiveness. And until you have stood before Him and felt your guilt and have acknowledged it, knowing that you're wrong and corrupt, and hear Him say in the heart of hearts, neither do I condemn you, my child, go and sin no more. Until you hear that, until you do that, you will never be able to properly fear God. One element of fear is to experience the wonder of forgiveness, and that forgiveness is doled out again and again from the throne. The A in the word fear stands for awe. Awe at His majesty. The wisdom and the wonder of God. We are to awe. That's what the reverent fear of God is, to be in awe of His majesty, of who He is, of what He has done. And what a marvelous mind that can comprehend all of the billions of pieces of information in this universe and hold them continually before Him. And that could hear the very still, small voice. Man, God is amazing. How He can be in control of every single thing, yet still care about the hair on your head. And finally, the R in the word fear, when it comes to fearing God, is to resolve to do His will, to obey His word. That is the part where He says, the conclusion of the matter, fear God and keep His commandments. So resolve to do His will, resolve to obey His word, resolve to keep His commandments. And Jesus said there are only two commandments, love God and love your neighbor with all of your heart, all of your soul, and all of your mind. And this is the response that we have. Proverbs 9:10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And again, we fear God by F, faith in His existence, E, experience His grace, A, stand in awe of His majesty, and R, resolve to do His will. Well, that sums up the book of Ecclesiastes. I hope you enjoyed it. If you missed any of the sermons, you can go to thewashingword.com under the media tab, and you can listen to or download any of these for free. Also want to invite you to join me for live verse-by-verse Bible teaching at at Abundant Life Fellowship, 415 Old Union Road, Churchill, Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Hope to see you there. Have a blessed day.